And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, I tried you at home in the desert. You weren't there. Where are you?
I'm actually in Idaho right now on a property exam with one of the companies I cover. So I got a couple of days in the field here and looking forward to it.
Okay, well, it's good to keep your nose to the grindstone. And you realize, of course, Mickey, that with this installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, we're really going full circle. We're talking about copper, and copper was at the heart of the very first show we did way back in January.
That's true, Rob. And so this will be our third time in talking about copper, and I envision this to be a metal that we will visit every 2 or 3 months as the show continues.
Well, it's certainly, you know, if past performance is any indication of what's ahead, it will be worth certainly talking about copper at least every quarter, because we talked about it in January, then we revisited copper in May, and we're back at it this time because since May, it has been quite the ride for copper. Recap for us how the trade has played out.
Well, when we talked in May, copper was coming off its highs from about 2 to 3 weeks earlier. At the time, it was trading about 310 to 320. And then we had this global financial crisis in Europe and the flash crash, and that made the market very fearful. And so from mid-May to late June, copper was on the downtick. It hit a low of 277. Followed by some volatility, daily volatility, in the range of 285 to 310. Mm-hmm. Now, finally, this past week, it broke out of some resistance, and it closed at a two-month high of 318 on Friday, and today it was at 321. So it's, for the first time in a couple of months, it's exceeded its 200-day moving average. And all base metals have gone to the upside over the last week or so.
Well, copper is the metal that they say has a PhD in economics, Mickey. Explain the weakness that we saw in the price in that mid-May to late June period, and the stretch of volatility that has followed that period of strength, because that bumpy ride has certainly had a few people guessing just kind of which direction it's going to go.
Well, it's very much been acting like Dr. Copper. So we saw the shaky markets, nervous markets, and it caused copper to go down. And then we went through a period of time, say over the last month or so, where we were kind of on the cusp of is this euro situation going to resolve itself, which it pretty much has, it appears now. So now we're seeing a more bullish phase in copper. Copper is very much tied to the world financial situation, the stock markets, and short-term economic outlooks.
Well, explain the recent strength then that we've seen in copper, Mickey, because all the commentary that I've read concerning the outlook for the global economy, I don't think offers a very clear picture as to where we're heading. In fact, in some circles, I think you could probably argue quite easily that there may be a little bit more uncertainty today about the economy than there was 2 or 3 months ago. A good example of that, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke just last week saying that the economic outlook for the United States was, quote, rather unusually uncertain. So where do you think we're going?
Well, and I would agree with that. We're still in uncertain financial times. However, then we go back to the fundamentals of the copper market, and that's supply and demand. And inventories are down on all the metal exchanges since February. The LME is down 20%. COMEX is down. The Shanghai stockpiles are about half what they were in the late winter. Right now, the world's stockpiles of copper are only 8 days' worth of demand. So we're seeing 8-month lows in inventories, and that, as prices go up, that brings in short covering. And the other encouraging thing, we're seeing buying and selling interest way up on both sides. So that indicates a market that is very well positioned with respect to supply and demand.
Okay, now in the past, Mickey, For a large degree, it's been basically a China-dominated story when talking about the movement in copper prices and other base metals. And to a large degree, that may still be the case. But I'm just wondering where this recent bullish sentiment for copper is really coming from, because Chinese imports have been on the slide. They fell in June, and I think that was the third consecutive monthly drop for Chinese imports of copper.
Well, that's true, and now the market is not completely controlled by the demand from China. China imports are way down, as you said. The forecasts are minus 28% in 2010. But what's happened is that China is actually working off its huge stockpiles it accumulated in 2009, and that was the subject of our first venture into the copper supply demand market. We even talked about pig farmers hoarding copper in China. So they're working off stockpiles. The most important demand right now is really coming from China and India, and that's the electrical power grid as the countryside is electrified. But interestingly enough, the world's 10 largest construction projects, you would think that plenty of those would be in China, and right now four of those are in the Persian Gulf, two in Northern Africa, and only one in China. So there is a more widespread healthy demand for copper right now.
And what is the thinking among the base metal analysts and others who really make it their full-time job to zero in on copper? What is their assessment of current conditions?
Well, I don't think it's quite a consensus, but it's fairly close right now. The analysts generally are seeing stronger markets, not only in the BRIC countries, and that would be Brazil, Russia, India, and China, but they're also seeing increased demand and forecasting increased demand in the U.S., in Europe, Korea, and Japan. So that's bullish for copper.
And are those views being reflected in the decisions that are being made by the big copper miners and the explorers? Are they making the types of moves right now that one would expect to see if indeed the fundamentals for copper are as bullish as we're led to believe?
Well, I'll give you an example, and that's the world's premier copper company, Freeport Copper and Gold. And they just had announced very robust quarterly earnings, and they announced plans for reviving projects, a spending of capital expenditures $1.7 billion in the next fiscal year. That includes three projects in North America, major projects, two major infrastructure projects in South America, and most significantly for those molybdenum exploration juniors, they've announced that they're going to put $70 million into the Climax Moly new concentrator, and with a production decision within a year on that. China consumes about two times the copper of the USA. They made $39 billion in mining deals since 2008. So with a more robust price of copper, we will see increase in merger and acquisition activity. Sometime we look at a window of $3 to $3.50 copper as kind of the M&A window when companies go out and acquire projects. So this bodes well for the juniors with big advanced properties, particularly those that are higher grade. Every good geologist knows that grade is king.
Okay, so we'll be watching for a spike in M&A activity in the copper area. What about the price of the metal itself? How do you see it moving over the, let's say, short to midterm? What's your outlook?
Well, with low inventories, increased worldwide demand, I'm watching the price quite closely right now. If it can break out of some resistance around this $3.20 mark, I think we're off and running, and that's very bullish for the uptick in copper in the short term.
Okay, let's wrap it up on that note, Mickey. Then next time out, what do you want to talk about?
No, I really don't know, Rob, but I do have an idea.
Okay.
How about you pick the subject, the commodity, you give me a week's notice, because we do a show every 2 weeks,
yep,
and I'll research it, and we'll do a show on it. How's that sound?
Okay, and I'll try not to throw you too many curveballs here, okay?
I'll be at bat taking whatever you're going to pitch to me, Rob.
I'm sure you can handle anything I'll throw your way. Sounds good, Mickey. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks then. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
And that's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.